Good evening, dear friends. Welcome to the retreat, Mindful Living today. This is a retreat of mindfulness. And mindfulness is kind of energy that can help us to be more peaceful, joyful, happy, compassionate, understanding. And every one of us is capable of generating the energy of mindfulness. We have a mind, but our mind very often is not with our body. Our body may be there, but our mind is elsewhere. Our mind may be caught in the past. We worry, we regret things concerning the past. We are sorrowful about what happened in the past. We keep going to the past, and we are caught by the past. We are not free from the past. The past becomes a prison. We are not capable of being in the present in order to live our life, because life is available only in the present moment. And then if we are not by the past, we might be caught by the future. We worry about the future. We are uncertain about the future. We are fearful about the future. And that is why the future is a kind of prison also. It deprives us of freedom. So mindfulness is the kind of energy that helps us to be free from the past, to be free from the future, and to be able to settle in the here and the now, the present moment. Because the present moment is the only moment when life is available. Everything that is wonderful, refreshing, and healing must be found in the present moment. That is why mindfulness, if we practice well enough, will liberate us from the past, from the future, and bring us back to the here and the now so that we can live our life deeply in every moment that is given us to live. And with some training, some practice, everyone will be able to do that. Mindfulness is, as I said, a kind of energy that every one of us can generate. And that energy has the power to bring our mind home to our body. Because in our daily life, very often, our mind is not with our body. Our mind is caught by our projects, our anger, our fear, our regret, and that is why it's very important to invite our mind back to our body. And there are simple practices that can help us do so, like the practice of mindful breathing. We breathe all day long, in and out, but we are not mindful of our in-breath and out-breath. Now the practice helps us to become aware of our in-breath, of our out-breath. We just bring our attention to our in-breath. We observe our in-breath. We want to be there with our in-breath. And the in-breath is like a vehicle, transport us back to our body right away. Because one in-breath may last only 2 or 3 seconds. But if we focus our attention on our in-breath and breathe in, we go home to our country right away. And when mind and body are together, we are established in the here and the now. And we can touch the wonders of life that are available in the here and the now. It sounds easy, but it needs some training. There is a scripture teaching us how to practice mindful breathing. And in this retreat, we will learn a little bit about that scripture and apply that teaching into our daily life. Another kind of practice is mindful walking. We can very well combine our in-breath and out-breath with our steps. And while walking, we focus our attention on our on the steps we make. And because our mind is with our steps, that is why we release the past, we release the future, we release our projects, and we are free in order to be here and now. So each step taken like that bring us to the here and the now and help us to get in touch with life and the wonders of life in the present moment. And our retreat is only more than three days. 4 days. But that is enough for us to learn the art of mindful living and improve the quality of our daily life. Mindfulness can be practiced at any moment of our daily life. When we brush our teeth, we may choose to brush our teeth in mindfulness. We stop our thinking about the past, the future, our project, and just enjoy brushing our teeth. We can brush our teeth in such a way that freedom and joy and happiness become possible during the time of brushing our teeth. And this is possible. We don't try to finish quickly with our toothbrushing. We brush in such a way that we are happy right in the 2 or 3 minutes of toothbrushing. And this is possible. And again, we need some training and get the habit of being happy. And when we prepare our breakfast, for our family, we may choose to prepare breakfast in such a way that every moment of breakfast making become a joyful and happy moment. And that is possible with mindfulness practice. Because mindfulness practice helps us to be there in the moment when we prepare breakfast. And everything we do in breakfast, we do mindfully and we enjoy doing so. Suppose we think of people in the third country. There are those who do not have running water in the home. Many of them have to go very far in order to fetch water. And they don't have hot water, cold water. They don't have gas and electricity. In order to cook something, they have to use wood and straw and other kind of fuel that are available to them in the countryside. So when we know. When we practice mindful breathing and go back to ourselves, we see that we have everything ready. We have the hot water, the cold water, the gas, the electricity, everything. And open. So just remember that and every moment of breakfast making become a happy moment. So this is an art of living. Happily, that thanks to the practice of mindfulness. The practice of mindfulness helps us to connect with our body and to help us release the tension in our body and reduce the pain in our body. The practice of mindfulness helps us to be there with our feelings. With the practice of mindful breathing, mindful walking, we can produce a joyful feeling whenever you want. Because you can touch, get in touch with the wonders of life that are in us and around us. With the practice of mindfulness, you can generate a feeling of happiness whenever you want. Because there are so many wonders of life, there are so many conditions of happiness that are available for us, to us, in the here and the now. So creating a feeling of joy, creating a feeling of happiness is not something difficult with those who know the practice of mindfulness. And then the practice of mindfulness can help us handle a feeling of pain, a feeling of sorrow, so that we can get a relief, so that we can suffer less. The practice of mindfulness can help us to get in touch with the pain and the suffering inside of us. Help us to listen deeply to the suffering inside of us, so that we will be able to understand the roots and the nature of our suffering. And when we understand the nature of our suffering, the energy of compassion will arise. That is the law. When you understand suffering, your own suffering, or the suffering of the other person of the world, naturally the energy of compassion arises. And the energy of compassion, when it arises, it has the power to heal and to transform. And when we are transformed, we feel lighter, we suffer much less. And when we look at the other person, we can see that he also suffers a lot, she also suffers a lot. And when we see the suffering in him or in her, we are not angry at him or her anymore. We don't want to punish anymore. Instead, we want to do something to help. And that is possible with the practice of mindfulness. Mindfulness of understanding, mindfulness of compassion. And we can talk to him or her with the language called loving speech. And we can listen to him or to her with the ear of compassion, and to help him or her suffer less. And we can restore communication, and we can reconcile. And mindfulness practice can do all these kind of things. We have offer retreats of mindfulness a little bit everywhere. And the miracle of reconciliation always takes place in our retreats, especially on the fifth and sixth day. But 4 days is possible also. If you practice well. And we will receive instructions as how to breathe, how to walk, how to sit in order to generate the energy of mindfulness. But now we should begin with the practice of chanting. The monastics of Plum Village have been trained to chant in such a way that they can go back to themselves and touch the suffering in them, because they do have the suffering. They are human beings, and their practice is to handle the suffering inside and to heal. The chanting is called mindful chanting. When you chant the name of Avalokita, a person who has the capacity to listen with compassion, we become that person. We have the capacity to go home to us and get in touch with suffering inside and listen to the suffering inside. That is something the people in the world don't want to do. Many of us find to get in touch with suffering inside is not pleasant. We do not have the courage to go home and to be with our suffering, to look into our suffering, to listen to our suffering in order to understand our suffering. We have the tendency to run away from our suffering. Or we have the tendency to cover up the suffering with the means of consumption. We consume television, we consume music, we consume food, we consume conversation, we consume everything in order not to get in touch with the suffering inside. That is the practice of most of the people in the world. That is why they do not have the chance to heal. There is a fear that if you go home to yourself, you will encounter the block of suffering inside. That is why you tend to run away from yourself. But with this practice, we can generate energy of compassion, mindfulness and concentration. The practice of mindful breathing, mindful walking, mindful sitting, mindful chanting. We can generate the energy of compassion, mindfulness, and we are strong enough to go home to us without fear. Suffering is a form of energy, and mindfulness is another form of energy. The energy of mindfulness will recognize and embrace tenderly the energy of suffering. And if we are able to do so, we get a relief. We suffer less. Mindfulness embracing tenderly suffering. It's like a mother, loving mother, holding tenderly the suffering baby. When you hold a wounded cat with compassion, you help the cat to suffer less. So this is true also. If there is some fear, some anger, and if we know to generate mindfulness and use that energy of mindfulness to embrace our anger and our fear tenderly, we will suffer less. And if we continue to practice more deeply, we'll be able to transform and heal. So when the monastic chant the name Avalokita, the Bodhisattva of compassionate listening, they go back to themselves and recognize the suffering inside. That suffering may have been transmitted to them by their parents and ancestors. Because it may be that our ancestors and our parents had a lot of suffering, and because they didn't know how to handle and to transform, that is why they have transmitted that block of suffering to us. And that is why when we are able to listen and understand the suffering inside of us, and when we are able to transform the suffering in us, we help liberate our parents and our ancestors who are still in us. Because in this practice, our parents are in us, not only outside of us, but also in us. And our ancestors are still alive in us. And we are the continuation of our parents and of our ancestors. And if we get healing, transformation, our parents in us and our ancestors in us will also get the healing and transformation. So in our suffering, there is the suffering of our parents and our ancestors. And our suffering also reflects the suffering of our nation. If our nation has been divided or invaded, that suffering has been handed down to us by ancestors. And that is why we know that our own suffering reflects somehow the suffering of our nation of and of the world. So when the monastics chant the name of Avalokita for the second time, they allow themselves to be in touch with the suffering around them and in the world. The war in Vietnam destroyed 6-7 million people. The war in Iraq destroyed several millions of people also. And a lot of suffering is going on everywhere in the world. And that is why when we are aware of the suffering, we get in touch with the suffering, there is a chance for compassion to be born. And with compassion, we begin to heal. And we begin to help the world heal. And when together we practice mindfulness of compassion, mindfulness of suffering, mindfulness of compassion, we create a collective energy of mindfulness and of compassion. And that collective energy of mindfulness and compassion is able to heal the people who can get in touch with that collective energy. We know that when we live with a group of people full of hate and despair and anger, that collective energy of hate, despair and anger is very toxic for us. And that makes us sick, that makes us suffer a lot. But when we find ourselves in a group where the collective energy is compassion, mindfulness, understanding, we profit from that collective energy and our body, our mind begin to heal. So this is the purpose of chanting. While chanting, we produce the collective energy of mindfulness and compassion. And if we know how to listen, we will allow that energy of compassion and mindfulness to penetrate into our body and our mind and help heal and transform. We don't have to do anything except allowing ourselves to be in the here and the now. Do not let our mind carry us away to the past, to the future, to our projects. In order to do so, we may like to focus our attention on our in-breath and out-breath. Breathing in, I know I am breathing in. Breathing out, I know I am breathing out. Breathing in, I know my body is there. Breathing out, I smile to my body. So when your mind is focused on your breath, your body, you release the past, you release the future, you stop all the thinking. And you allow yourself to be in the here and the now. And if we know how to sit, relax like this, and then the energy generated by the chanting, the practice of mindfulness, will be able to penetrate into our body. There is tension and stress in our body. We have allowed tension and stress to be accumulated into our body. So if we know how to allow our body to relax, and the collective energy of mindfulness and compassion to penetrate into our body, that energy will help release the tension in our body. And when the tension in our body is released, the amount of pain in our body will be reduced. And if we have some fear or anger or despair in our heart, we may like to open our heart so that the collective energy of mindfulness and compassion could penetrate into our heart and help embrace these blocks of pain. We practice like this, dear community of practice. He is my pain. He is my sorrow. He is my despair. My energy of mindfulness is not strong enough to embrace them. So please help embrace that energy of pain and fear and anger for me. And if we know how to open our heart and allow the collective energy of the Sangha, of the community, to embrace us, we will get the healing. We practice like a drop of water, allowing the whole river to carry us, to embrace us. And this is a practice of healing and transformation with chanting and listening. To stop the thinking, to be there, body and mind united, to allow the energy, collective energy of compassion and of mindfulness to penetrate into our body and our heart. That is our practice. And we feel better, much better after 5-10 minutes of listening. And if we have a friend or a member of the family who suffers now, who could not come to the retreat, we can very well send this wholesome energy to him or to her by just thinking of that person, or calling his or her name silently. And then this energy will be channeled to that person right tonight, in this very moment. So let us be in a relaxed, comfortable position, like this. Allow our body to relax. Follow and enjoy our in-breath and out-breath. And allow the collective energy of the Sangha to penetrate into our body. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let us massage our feet mindfully and smile to our feet.
Dear Sangha, we would like to invite the children and everybody in the children program to exit the hall to go to our room upstairs. Thank you. And the parents are invited to come and pick up the children later in that same room.
Let us stand up and do some mindful movements before we sit down and continue. I breathe in and I raise my hand. I breathe out. Three more times. In. Breathing in, I touch the sky. Breathing out, I smile. Three more times. Breathing in, I bloom like a flower. Breathing out, I smile. Blooming, smiling. My feet apart. I draw a circle with each hand. I breathe in. I breathe out. I go the other way. Breathing in. Breathing out. Good. In. In. Out. In. Out. In. Now I draw a circle with my head. In. In, out, in, out. I touch the earth. Breathing in, I touch the sky. Breathing out, I touch the earth. In the sky. Out the earth. I put my heels together like a V. Breathing in, I go on my toes. In, breathing out, I go down, smiling. In, out. In. Three more times, okay? In, excellent. Every time we hear the bell, our practice is to stop our thinking, to stop our talking, and begin to enjoy breathing in and breathing out with the sound of the bell. The sound of the bell is a signal for us to stop thinking, stop talking, stop doing things. And go home to ourselves with mindful breathing. Bring our mind home to our body. And we enjoy mindful breathing three times in and out. And if we hear three sounds of the bell, it means that we have a chance to to breathe in and out deeply 9 times. And if we do that, we can bring a lot of peace. It's very pleasant to practice breathing with the bell. Many of our brothers and sisters in the monastics, they program the bell of mindfulness in their computers. And every 15 minutes, they hear the bell and they stop working. They stop whatever they are doing, and they go back to their in-breath and out-breath. And they connect with themselves, their body, their feelings, and so on. Mindfulness is the capacity to be aware of what is going on. Mindfulness helps us to home to ourselves. And the bell of mindfulness, the sound of the bell is considered in a Buddhist practice center as the voice of the Buddha calling us home to ourselves. The Buddha is in us. It's very clear that Buddha means the person who is mindful, who is awake, who is enlightened. And we know that the Buddha is not a god. The Buddha is a human being. He has suffered like us, but he had practiced, had found a way to practice in order to heal and transform, and arrive at a very high level of understanding and compassion. And he said that every one of us has the capacity to heal, to understand, to love. Everyone can become a Buddha. It means a enlightened person, a mindful person, a compassionate person. So in a practice, Buddhist practice center, we consider the sound of the bell as the voice of the Buddha from within, calling us home, not to run away anymore. And every time we hear the bell, whether it is a big bell or a small bell, whether the bell is announcing time for sitting meditation, or time for walking meditation, or time for lunch, we always stop and enjoy breathing with the 3 sounds of the bell. And the atmosphere suddenly becomes very deep, very calm, very healing. In summer, sometimes we have more than 1,000 people practicing, including the children. And every time you hear the bell, everyone practice breathing in and out, bringing calm and serenity back, and the atmosphere is very powerful. So during this retreat, we will observe the bell of mindfulness like that. Every time we hear the bell, we stop thinking, we stop talking and doing things. We just allow ourselves to enjoy 3 times breathing in and out, and calm our body, release the tension in our body. There is an exercise proposed by the Buddha. Breathing in, I'm aware that my body is there. Breathing out, I release the tension from my body. You take 1 step and you say, I have arrived. You say silently, I have arrived. You are not thinking. I have arrived is not thinking. I have arrived is a practice. And you work in such a way that you are aware of the contact between your foot and the ground below the contact, touching Mother Earth. It's like kissing Mother Earth with your foot. It can be very healing. You don't think of anything else. Just touching the earth deeply with your foot. I have arrived. It means I have arrived in the here and the now. That is my destination. I'm not running anywhere. I arrive in the here and the now in order to encounter life. You have an appointment with life. And that appointment is in the here and the now. Because life is not available in the past, not in the future. Life is available only in the present moment. And if you do not go back to the present moment, you miss your appointment with life. Very serious. Therefore, learning mindful walking means to be always alive, to be always with life, not missing your appointment with life. I have arrived. And you may have to invest 100% of your body and your mind in order to arrive truly to 100%. Because if your mindfulness is not strong enough, you arrive only 20%. And the 80% are still running. You are not completely in the here and the now. So it may be helpful that we try alone walking. Make a step and pronounce silently, I have arrived. Focus on investing all your body and your mind into making the step. And if you haven't arrived 1%, don't make another step. Stay like that. And breathe until you are sure that you have arrived in the here and the now 100%. That is a challenge. And then when you know that you have arrived in the here 100%, you smile. You smile a smile of victory. And then you make a second step and you say, I am home. My home, my true home is in the here and the now. And if we know how to walk like that, we will touch the wonders of life in the here and the now. But when we do walking meditation together, we cannot do slowly like that. There will be a traffic jam. Therefore, when I breathe in, I may like to make two steps or three. And I say, I have arrived, two steps. And when I breathe out, I make three steps. I am home. And that is not a declaration. That is a realization. I have to arrive truly, and not just a verbal declaration. I have to arrive truly in the here and the now. And when I breathe out, I must feel that I'm home. Our true home is in the here and the now. Because life is available only in the here and the now. At the end of the road, the future, it's not home, it's not to home. It is the cemetery or the crematory. It's not true home. True home is here, in the here and the now. And that is why I have to challenge myself in order to truly arrive and feeling at home right here and right now. This is a revolution. Because our habit energy is to run. We do not believe that happiness is possible in the here and the now. That is why we sacrifice the present moment for the future. Most of us. But in fact, life is available only in the here and the now. All the wonders of life, you can only get in touch with them in the here and the now. That is why every step should bring you home to the here and the now and truly live your life. And this is the practice of mindfulness. Happiness is possible in the here and the now. Other people, they don't believe that happiness is, can be possible in the here and the now. That is why they run into the future in order to look for some more conditions of happiness. And we are not sure that they can get these conditions. But when we practice mindfulness, we come home to the here and the now, and suddenly we discover that there are many, so many conditions of happiness that are available right here and right now. More than you need in order to be happy. And that is why a good practitioner can always generate a feeling of joy and happiness whenever she wants to. Very smart. When we walk as a group, we can generate a very powerful collective energy. And when we arrive, all of us arrive at the same time. We don't run anymore. And first, we have to resist the tendency, the habit of running. The habit is very strong. We have the intention to stop, to arrive in here and now, but that is only the intention. To succeed or not, it depends on how mindful we are, how concentrated we are on our breath, on our steps, and whether we can make good use of the collective energy of the group in order to help us arrive and feel at home with every step. I have arrived, I am home. I propose that we begin with the rhythm 2-3, two steps for breathing in and three steps for breathing out, because for beginners, most of us, the out-breath is always a little bit longer than the in-breath. So two steps for our in-breath and three steps for our out-breath. And if we practice correctly, we feel that we arrive with every step, that we feel comfortable with every step, comfortable because we know that we are truly home. We don't want to run anymore. And if we can arrive, we can be home like that. The kingdom of God is available to us in the here and the now. To me, the kingdom of God is now or never. You do not have to die in order to go to the kingdom. In fact, you have to be very alive. And in order to be alive, mindfulness of breathing, mindfulness of walking is very helpful. One in-breath, one step, make you alive. And with only one step, you can enter the kingdom. Everything around us belongs to the kingdom. And your body also belongs to the kingdom. Your body is a wonder. It belongs to the kingdom of God. And this flower is a wonder. It belongs to the kingdom of God. And mindfulness allow us to live deeply the mystery of our life in every moment. And we can get the fulfillment very deep. We don't have to go to the future. We don't need the money, power, sex, and fame, because we have already the kingdom with us. Mindfulness make the kingdom available to us in the here and the now. So walking meditation is to enjoy walking in the kingdom of God. And it can be done right in this moment, in the here and the now. It depends on our mindfulness and concentration. If our mindfulness and concentration is strong enough, we stay always in the kingdom. If we lose our mindfulness, we get out of the kingdom. And if we are a good practitioner, always allowing the energy of mindfulness to be with us, wherever we go, the kingdom is there. In the beginning, we may begin with two steps for breathing in, three steps for breathing out, but a little bit later, our lungs may tell us that they want more. They will be happier if you give them three steps while breathing in, or five and five steps while breathing out. And you give exactly your lungs the number of steps that your lungs want. So from two, three, you go to three, five. The number that satisfy, that make you feel the happiest. According to my experience, it is whether two, three, or three, five, or four, six, or five, eight, or six, nine. It can be longer. And the breathing and walking can be very healing, very rewarding. It can provide us a lot of pleasure. I want to tell you, my dear friends, that there is not a day when I do not enjoy walking in the kingdom of God. It's very healing and nourishing. And with mindfulness and concentration, you can enjoy the kingdom in the here and the now. And you belong to the kingdom also. And when we see a brother, a sister in the practice walking like that, we know that he is in the kingdom. And we are motivated by the same desire. He is the kingdom. Why? I do not do like him. So you remember to breathe in and make a mindful step, and you are in the kingdom also. That is why the presence of practitioners around us is very important. They remind us to practice and to be there in the here and the now and enjoy life in every moment. The practice of mindful breathing, mindful walking should be pleasant. If you suffer during the practice of breathing or walking, that is not good practice. We do not force the practice on us. Breathing, we breathe all day. We don't need to make any effort in order to breathe in and out. We just focus our attention on our in-breath and our breath. That's all. Like a flower, like the sunshine shining on the flower. Our mind is the sunshine. And our in-breath is the flower. We just use our mind in order to acknowledge the presence of our in-breath and out-breath. So we don't need to make any effort. We are home to be with our in-breath and out-breath. and to be with our body, and then with our feelings, with our perceptions, and so on. And we will elaborate a little bit more about that tomorrow. So every step can be a joy, and every step can be nourishing and healing. There are those of us who can heal ourselves just by walking, touching Mother Earth, and heal. And spending time in a retreat, we may get the habit of walking mindfully. And when we go home to our city, we be able to continue walking from the parking lot to the office. We will be able to enjoy every step and stay in the kingdom of God or the pure land of the Buddha, which is the same. When we eat our breakfast or lunch, we should also be there for our breakfast, for our lunch. Eating mindfully is a practice. When you drink a cup of tea, we can choose to drink it mindfully. And the pleasure of drinking tea will be double, triple, and so on. Because we are truly there, and the tea is also truly there. Life is real. It's not a dream when mindfulness is there. Mindfulness, concentration, and compassion is really the energy of the Buddha that we can generate by our practice. They are equivalent to the Holy Spirit. In a Christian tradition, wherever the Holy Spirit is, there is life. You are alive when you are inhabited by the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit is there, you begin to heal and to help heal other people. The same thing is true with mindfulness, concentration, and insight. And you have to generate these energies by yourself, because these energies are not available in the supermarket. Standing in line, waiting for the time to serve, we don't waste our time. We enjoy looking around at our brothers and sisters in the practice. It's wonderful to be together in a retreat to get the healing and transformation together. And so standing online, you don't waste 1 second. You just enjoy breathing in and out for your nourishment and healing. You can smile to everything, because everything in the light of mindfulness belongs to the kingdom of God. You might even to smile to your own suffering, because suffering has a role to play in helping transform. It's like when you grow a lotus flower, you need the mud. You cannot grow lotus flowers on marble. There is no lotus if there is no mud. So suffering plays a very important role in helping us understand and generate the energy of compassion. So with mindfulness, we are no longer afraid of suffering, of pain. And we learn how to make good use of that mud in order to fabricate lotus flowers. And When I pick up a piece of potato or lettuce or carrot, I would take 1 second to look at it mindfully and recognize it as a gift of sky and earth. This is an ambassador coming from the cosmos to nourish us, the piece of carrot. Looking into the piece of carrot, you see the sunshine, you see the rain, the cloud, the earth, the whole cosmos in a piece of carrot. Now it has come in order to nourish you. So you need only 1 second to get that kind of enlightenment. And you put it in your mouth only after you have seen the piece of carrot as a wonder of life. And when you chew mindfully, you enjoy chewing the piece of carrot, and you get in touch with Mother Earth, with the Father Sky, Father Sun. You don't need to think. You are getting in touch with yourself, with Mother Earth, with the cosmos, by chewing the piece of carrot. Let us not chew our projects, our anger, our fear. It's not good for our health. Just chew the carrot. And we should be able to eat every morsel of our lunch, our breakfast like that. During the time of breakfast or lunch, we focus our attention only on two things. The community of brothers and sisters who are practicing with us. It is very joyful to be together to practice. And the second object of our mindfulness is the food, which is a gift of sky and earth. And we eat like that, not only to nourish our body, but nourish our happiness, our compassion. And then we know that the time given to us in this retreat is very precious. And that is why we should make good use of the time being together. We need the time to focus our attention on our breath, our steps, to become alive, to become fully present in the here and the now. That is why we refrain from talking. If we talk too much and think too much, well, we are not helping to make the retreat a success. So noble silence is a way to help create a collective energy for healing and for transformation. Let us make good use of our time together here by observing a noble silence, using the time to practice mindful breathing, mindful walking. Every step in mindfulness, every breath in mindfulness, every movement in mindfulness. Sister Gina, Sister Jiankong will offer us some more recommendation to enjoy. Sister Gina and Sister Ho Niam will offer us some more instructions as how to best enjoy our retreat together. Thank you. I'll be with you tomorrow morning for sitting meditation.
Dear Sangha, we invite all the teenagers to come out now to have activities in the teen suite.
Dear Thay, dear brothers, dear sisters, and dear friends, I would like to invite you to experience what I have taught by enjoying breathing in the sitting position. If you know the practice of breathing, you can breathe everywhere you are because you are always with the breathing. And now we would like to invite you to experience the awareness breathing in sitting. So maybe we can sit down on the floor or on the chair, but make sure that your back is straight, but very relaxed. If you sit on the floor to support you, maybe you need the cushion or something to support your back straight and your knee touch the floor. And if you sit on the chair, make sure that your feet touch the floor or you can put on the cushion. And you can put your weight on your bottom and drop all the tensions down into the floor. And smile to yourself. And smile to everything inside of you and around you. Smile to relax the muscle on your face. And you can close your eyes a little bit to relax more. Breathing in, you are aware of your in-breath from the beginning until end. And breathe out, you follow your breath from the beginning until its end. Whatever comes up in your mind, like thinking, or worry, or angry, you always go back with your breathing. And smile to your thinking, smile to your anger, agitation, etc. You don't need to struggle, you don't need to fight, to tentle with everything going up into your body. And you can aware of every part in your body, from your head, your face, down to your neck, your shoulders, your hands, your back, your legs, and your feet. So wherever you sit, in the meditation hall, or in the dining hall, or in your office, or in the park, you can enjoy your breathing. To follow your in-breath and out-breath, and aware of your emotion, your thinking, whatever go off at that moment, and smile to them. Tomorrow you have the opportunity to do sitting meditation. Tomorrow we will have the guided meditation. And we can practice with the guidance. And the guidance will help you to focus on the topic. You just follow your in-breath and out-breath with the guidance. So maybe tomorrow we will wake up at the smile. Smile to your body and smile to the life. In the monastic life, when we wake up, we smile to ourselves, and we had a short poem to practice. Wake up this morning, I smile. We have 24 brand new hours a day. I vow to look deeply with the compassionate eyes. And every sentence with in-breath, the other sentence with out-breath. And we don't need to hurry. To take time to wake up, smile to our body and massage our face. If we have the early morning like that and we enjoy the tranquility, we enjoy the quietness, it nourishes us a lot. So I would like to invite you to tomorrow wake up with the smile. Maybe at the beginning we forget it because we had the happy energy to hurry. At the beginning of my practice, I did the same. I say that tomorrow I will wake up at the smile. But the following day, I forget it. And I say that tomorrow I could do it, but I always forget it. And I commit to myself that every time I forget it, I will get on the bed again and to smile to myself and to start a new day. And then I do like that. I woke up and went to the toilet and I recognized that I forgot to smile when I woke up. And I get on the bed again to smile, to create a new habit energy. We are suffer because we get a habit of hurry, of worry. So with the practice, we create a new habit energy. Wake up with a smile, relaxing, take time to do things, and go to the restroom with the style of walking meditation like they have just said. And brush our teeth, wash your face with a gentle smile. I remember that one day I wrote to Thay when I was a novice. The novice is the one who practiced for the first 2 years of the monastic life. I wrote to Thay, "Thay, if I get enlightenment, the place I get enlightenment is the toilet." Because I enjoy so much, whenever I go to the toilet, nobody disturbs me. Nobody bothers me. And I really myself. And I enjoy the breathing. So I would like to invite you to practice the same with me and with the monastics. Maybe I save time for the sitter union to share more about the practice.
Dear Thay, dear brothers, sisters, and dear friends, there's just a few things to share. I would like to share an Irish practice with you. Smiling, we have already had, very Irish. We have a period of noble silence that starts after the evening activity until after breakfast. So that's a time where we can offer a smile to everyone we meet. We can smile with our eyes also. And we can also offer another way of greeting that I have received many a time. Driving or walking along the country roads. It's something like this. Yeah. Very nice. So please offer this to the friends you meet on the path. It will definitely make them smile. and then when we listen to the Dharma talk, and we have been listening to the Dharma talk already. We often speak about a Dharma rain. It means rain of the teaching coming down. So we can allow the Dharma rain to fall softly upon the field of our mind. And it will water the seeds of love and understanding and insight. And in that way, allow us to bring happiness to ourselves, and then we can offer happiness to others. It's to allow the words to come in and just let them sink into the depths of our consciousness without comparing what we already may know. The are going to be also basically in silence. And as Sister Hoinam said, we can enjoy our meals. We can enjoy the company around us and we can offer them a smile. And during the breakfast meal, we will eat as we did this evening, and it will be without any reading of the five contemplations. You may have seen on your table already the text of the five contemplations. We will just fill up a table and start eating together. From time to time there may be a bell. We will stop to enjoy our breathing, to come back to ourselves and to look at each other and look at the food on our plate and allow the seed of gratitude to be watered. At lunchtime, we fill up a table and we sit down, and then one of us at the table can read the five contemplations for everybody at our table to hear. And then one time during our meal, the five contemplations will be read out aloud over the PA system. And we can enjoy again a little pause. We may like to put down our fork or knife or spoon and just make ourselves present. At dinner time, it will be all in silence also. However, like lunch, when the table is filled up, one of us will read the five contemplations for others to hear. And whenever we hear a bell during the lunch time, during lunch, breakfast or dinner, we will pause, we will stop and enjoy our breathing. And then continue to nourish ourselves with the presence of those around us and with the food on our plate. We would like to enjoy every step. And this may also mean that we need to be a little bit aware of time. Wake up is basically at 6, it says here. And at 6:30 we start the meditation in this hall. And we'd like to be in here at 6:25, because the bell will be invited at 6:30. So in order to enjoy our walking meditation from our living quarters to the meditation hall, you may like to get up a little bit earlier. It would be a pity if you would have to run to get here in order to practice mindfulness. It just doesn't look good. So you may like to set your alarm a little bit earlier so you really can enjoy the fresh air and make your way to the meditation hall. When we arrived from Dublin and we got here, what struck us was the air is so fresh. You know, there's so many birds singing. The sky was clear enough to see the mountains, and we really enjoyed arriving here. So let's enjoy being here and arriving in every step and be in touch with the wonders that are there for us to enjoy. You may have noticed in the dining hall and at the beginning of this talk that we have little people with us. I mean toddlers. These little toddlers and children, they really benefit from our presence. So let's embrace them with our understanding and compassion if they run around a little bit and maybe not as quiet as we are in the dining hall. We can embrace them. Parents, if you're still here, please feel at ease. We love children and we love toddlers and we love little people. So we hope you will enjoy the retreat. You have a schedule in your apartment, so please check the schedule so that you don't miss any activities. It is almost 10 o'clock and I think it's time to go to bed. So please have a good night's sleep and we'll see you tomorrow morning. We will enjoy three sounds of the bell. You have an announcement? Okay. If you would be seated just one more moment, please. We have one more short announcement. And then after our session together, we enjoy three sounds of the bell together to sort of finish off our day. And then we will stand up with the sound of the small bell and we will offer each other a lotus bud, a flower, that will maybe bloom at the end of the retreat, and then we will make our way to our sleeping quarters.